The scripture reading this evening is found in the first place in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we read the first 28 verses, and then we read the first 6 verses of Hebrews 11. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that the righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him who shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this evening is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, if you could only make one request on this prayer day, one prayer request, what would you ask for? What would I ask for? Would we ask for a long life? Would we ask for riches? Would we ask for fame? Prayer day is set aside to ask God to bless the growing season that comes upon us. And in and of itself, that's not a wrong request to make. But what one request would we ask? If we could only make that one request. There's no doubt that a man like Enoch had many physical needs. He had to feed himself. If he had a family, he had to feed his family as well. And he did have descendants, so he did have a family. He had need of God's blessing upon his labors. But was that his chief desire? Enoch was one who walked with God. Genesis tells us about that walking with God. And that shows us, beloved, that his chief desire and that which ought to be our chief desire is not the things of this world, is not a healthy economy, is not a prosperous growing season. That's not the primary thing that you and I seek when we come to God in prayer. I want to learn from Enoch's example about what it means to come to God in prayer. Let's note in the first place that coming to God in prayer involves seeking Him. Secondly, believing Him. And lastly, that this is pleasing to Him. Coming to God in prayer. If you and I, beloved, want to come to God as Enoch came to God, we will seek Him in prayer. Prayer is a coming to God. Enoch, when Scripture tells us he came to God, indicates that he was therefore a man of prayer. He walked with God. It's not talking about a physical walking with God, but a fellowship that Enoch had with God. He walked with God. He had that covenant agreement, that is, a covenant fellowship, Scripture says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they walk together unless they are able to fellowship together? Enoch walked with God. Walking together implies talking and listening. And therefore, surely, Enoch prayed to God. He talked to God in prayer. Children, that's what prayer is. Talking to God. Now, if we wanted to have an audience with some famous earthly person, say the Prime Minister or some other dignitary, we would have to work hard to even get their permission to come into their presence. We would have to have connections in high places. And if we did manage to pull it off, we probably would not be able to spend much time with such a person if we wanted to. But with God, we don't have to make appointments. We don't have to go through all kinds of trouble. We are able to pause at any time of the day or night and talk to our God, to enter consciously into His presence. Do you ever think what an amazing privilege, beloved, we have? Do we not often take that for granted, that we are able to talk to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, to talk to our Heavenly Father, and lay before Him all the concerns of our hearts? Why do we come to God in prayer? Well, we come to Him in the first place to ask. We ask Him to supply our needs, for one. Ultimately, we ask Him to supply our needs because we seek His glory, but we ask Him to give us those things. And that's what prayer day is about. Historically, we come to God asking Him to cause the planting to go well, asking Him to cause the crops to grow so that we may obtain our daily bread. And then with the crops, we ask Him also to give us health and strength and clothing and shelter and jobs and transportation and all those things that we need for the care of our bodies. But especially when we come to our God, beloved, we desire that He would supply our spiritual needs. We come to our God as guilty sinners, asking God to forgive us. We come to God with the pollution of sin, asking Him to purify us by the work of His Spirit. We come to God in our troubles, asking Him for sufficient grace to deal with the battles that we face each day. And do you see, beloved, when we come before our God, we don't come to demand of Him something. We come before Him as beggars. We come to Him as the only one who can supply our needs. We sometimes forget that when we look at earthly provision and we think that our work provided those things for us, but in fact, only God can supply our needs. Yes, He uses means, but He is the one who provides. Prayer involves then coming to God as empty vessels, asking God to fill us out of His fullness. Prayer is coming boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer is asking. But prayer is more than that. Prayer is also thanksgiving. The psalmist says in Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So not only do we ask God for that which we need, but when we obtain those things, we give Him thanks. We see God answering our prayers out of the abundance of His goodness and mercy. And so we want to express our gratitude to Him. What is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a humble attitude that acknowledges that God is the one who provides for us. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. And so in thanksgiving we say, God has been good to me. When God works that thanksgiving in our hearts, we say and confess together, we deserve nothing. We deserve nothing good. But God has given us an abundance of good in Jesus Christ. In thanksgiving, we say, God has dealt graciously with me. Thanksgiving, of course, goes hand in hand with praise and worship of God. When we see all His mighty works, we want to praise Him. We want Him to be glorified. We praise Him not only for what He has done, what He has done for us and what He has done for others and the works that He has done throughout the earth, but we praise Him also for who He is. Prayer is seeking God for all of our needs, asking Him to supply, and thanking Him for what He has done. Acknowledging that in Him alone is all of our salvation. And that implies, beloved, prayer implies that we have a personal relationship with God. Just as Enoch had a personal relationship with God, the wicked go astray, care not to give praise to God at all, and they seem to prosper, but they don't have a personal relationship with God. There's no common grace for the wicked. There's no favor of God towards the wicked, as Psalm 37 proclaims. The Lord shall laugh at him on the judgment day. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day coming. Prayer implies a personal relationship with God. When God saves us, He doesn't merely deliver us from sin and death. He does that, but He also incorporates us by His grace into His covenant life. He brings us into a personal relationship, into fellowship with Himself. He dwells in us by His Spirit. And then through His Word, He testifies to us that we are His children, adopted by grace. But that communication in the covenant, beloved, when God takes us into covenant with Himself, is not only communication from God to us. We also talk to Him. God gives to us the blessing of prayer so that we are able to come into His presence. I say prayer implies a personal relationship with God. I'm not talking about the vain prayers of the wicked who are not praying to God at all. I'm talking about the prayers of God's people. At any given moment, because of the work of Jesus Christ, we have the right, and God has worked in us also that we have the ability to engage in prayer, to enter into the presence of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and to speak to Him and to know that He hears us and pays attention to us as if we were the only ones that existed. The fact that prayer implies a personal relationship helps us then also to understand the nature of those prayers that are pleasing to God. Prayer day is meant as an opportunity to ask God's blessing upon the growing season and to supply all of our physical needs, but if on prayer day and if on any other day, all we did was offer to God or bring before Him a laundry list of things that we needed, we would miss the personal relationship of true prayer. So if we found ourselves unemployed, and we ask God for a job that pays well. Or if we felt lonely, we might ask Him for friends and family. If we were sick, we might ask Him for help. But if that's the only thing that characterized our prayers, always seeking for physical things that I need, then we would be like the soldier in the trenches. A soldier who's being shot at, who cries out that God would spare his life, but as soon as the bullets stop flying, he stops praying. Never remembers God again. Prayers, beloved, are not meant to be merely a laundry list of things that we want for ourselves. Just as Jesus teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God, so also when Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, He teaches us to seek that kingdom in prayer, to express in our petitions our desire that God would be glorified, to express our desire that His kingdom would come, to express a desire that His will would be done. Now, a true prayer that is pleasing to God is not ultimately about seeking earthly things. True prayer is about seeking after God Himself. Coming to God in prayer is not so much about coming then with that list as it is about coming to commune with our God. And that's the way it is it not, in our earthly relationships? We don't go generally to visit friends because we just want to get things from them. We go because we desire to fellowship with them. And so when Jesus teaches us to pray, ask and it shall be given, He says. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But Jesus is not talking about asking and seeking and knocking after earthly things. He makes that clear immediately following Luke 11, verse 13. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Jesus is talking about asking and seeking and knocking, coming to God in order to commune with Him. When God gives us the Holy Spirit, He's giving us Himself. True prayer is not just seeking after earthly things. True prayer is seeking God and seeking His glory. Good for us to remember on prayer day. Is that our desire? on this prayer day that God would give to us Himself. Enoch is an example of that. As he sought after the glory of God, that was his desire. God had worked in Enoch's heart. God had given him the life of the life of Jesus Christ, even. God had given him that life, and according to that life, he wanted to glorify God. And according to that life, Enoch preached. And the wonderful thing about Enoch is that God granted exactly what Enoch desired. Enoch came to God seeking Him. God answered his prayers by bringing Enoch to Himself. And so too, beloved, our Heavenly Father will certainly give Himself to those who ask. But only to those who ask and who come believing. If a wicked person mouths those words, God will not answer that prayer and give Himself to that wicked person. He will give Himself only to those who come to Him believing. Not just believing anything whatsoever, but believing in Him. The world says, believe in yourself. The world says, you are stronger than you think. The world says, if you believe in yourself, anything is possible. But when you and I come to God, beloved, we mustn't come believing in ourselves. We mustn't come believing in our own merits. We mustn't come believing in the false gods of the heathen who are not gods at all. The psalmist declares that they have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They don't breathe. They can't move themselves anywhere. They are not gods. They are false gods. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. You and I must come to God believing the God who is. We must come believing in the God revealed in Holy Scripture. We must come believing in Jehovah, the great I Am. Believing that He is. And that means, beloved, we must come embracing the merits of Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah salvation. We must come to God believing that He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to God believing in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has given. Just as Enoch came to God believing. We don't have a record, a lengthy record of all the things that Enoch believed, but we know that he believed in the God of Scripture. We know he was a child of God. He believed that God was coming to judge the wicked of his day. Jude tells us about that, Jude verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. Enoch confessed the Lord, and he confessed that the Lord was coming. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. But that coming judgment, beloved, did not scare Enoch, because he knew his refuge was in Jehovah. He came to God believing in the God of the Bible. He came to God believing ultimately in the same Christ that was promised in that mother promise. The seed of the woman, Enoch, believed in him. He didn't understand all the details of his sacrifice. But there is no salvation outside of Christ. Enoch, as a child of God, held Jesus Christ as his refuge. Thankfully to us, we have a much clearer picture. God has given us that picture in the New Testament. How it is that Christ died in our place. And then we read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he, that is speaking about Christ, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, by faith, Enoch knew that he was righteous in God's sight. He knew that he was able to come into the very presence of Jehovah, not on the basis of his own works, but by faith. Ultimately, by faith in Jesus Christ. And so too, beloved, when God establishes that personal relationship between us and himself, he gives to us faith to believe that he is a God as he reveals himself in Scripture, that he is a God of justice, but that justice has been served in Jesus Christ, and that he is also a God of mercy, and who shows his mercy to us in Jesus Christ. The only way for you and me to come to God is through Jesus Christ, believing that God is as he has revealed himself. What a comfort, beloved, when we pray to God as unworthy sinners. We who in Adam are rebels against him, but God, in his goodness, has opened up a way for us to come into his presence. He has given to us Jesus Christ. We must come believing that he is. But in the second place, we must come believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those two things go together. If we believe God is according to the Scriptures, then we also believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sometimes we fall into the trap of making our prayers a mere formality. We say the words, we don't mean them. But God would have our prayers to be sincere. He wants us to seek him diligently. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Literally, that search him out, which implies an honest desire on our part. Our prayers must be uttered in faith. James 1 verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." And that seeking God diligently will manifest itself in a number of ways. It means when we ask for forgiveness, particular sin that we have committed, we go to God and ask for forgiveness. It means I must be truly sorry for that sin. If I'm not sorry at all for that sin, then the words, "forgive me," mean nothing. If I sincerely want spiritual growth, then I will pray for that, but I will also strive to walk in newness of life. God wants us to seek Him diligently. He gives examples of that in Scripture. We don't have time to go through the many, many examples, but a few. Jacob wanted a blessing from the angel of the Lord. What did Jacob do as he wrestled with that angel? He would not let him go, "Except thou bless me," he says. "I will not let thee go." Or when the disciples were unable to cast out the demon from the boy, Jesus tells them, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Or Jesus, when he uttered his prayers in Gethsemane, prayed with strong crying and tears. And the Apostle Paul, when he dealt with a thorn in the flesh, prayed earnestly that God would remove his thorn. God wants us to seek him with diligence, to search him out in our prayers. And then the text teaches, beloved, that God rewards those who seek him diligently. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's not saying to say that God rewards. That's not saying that he rewards according to something we have earned. But rather, it is a reward that Christ has earned. And why would we diligently seek God? When by nature we were enemies to God, why would we desire to go into God's presence and draw nigh unto Him? Why would we seek Him? Because He sought us in His love and brought us to Himself and worked in us a glorious salvation. That's why we seek Him. And therefore, God is rewarding the work that He Himself has done in us. God is pleased when we come to Him, just as He was pleased with Enoch. Not Enoch as he was by nature, not ourselves as we are by nature, but because of the work that God works in us. Enoch came to God throughout his life. He was a man of prayer. In the strength of faith that God had given, he preached God's word to the ungodly around him. And when they came to kill him, the wicked, persecuting Enoch, he was not found. He was not found because God translated him. God gave to Enoch that for which he prayed. God brought Enoch the glorious fellowship that he longed for. How do we know that Enoch pleased God? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. God gave that testimony to Enoch. Not because Enoch was wise and strong in himself. Not because of anything Enoch had done apart from the working of the Spirit in him. No. God was pleased with Enoch. God is pleased with us when we come to Him. Why? Because we come by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, take all the activity of the wicked, the plowing and the planting, take the working and the words of the wicked, take everything they might set themselves to do. Without faith, all of those things are displeasing to God. Even the prayers, even the sacrifice of the wicked are an abomination to God because it is not of faith. By faith, beloved, we are connected to Christ. We are united to Him by the bond of faith. And as God works in us and sees His own work, He cannot but be pleased. Psalm 37, verse 23. The psalmist says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." God orders those steps. God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He, that is God, delighteth in His way. God delights in His work that He is doing within us. God delights when we come to Him and we confess to Him that we are nothing and He is everything. God delights in our prayers to Him that call upon Him in our helplessness, for when we are weak, then He is strong. He delights to hear us call upon Him on this prayer day. He delights when we ask Him to supply our physical needs in order that we might praise Him. Not as ends in themselves, but in order that all these things that we require, that we need for our physical life, we pray for those things in order that we may give God the glory. Then verse 4 of Psalm 37, the psalmist says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Coming to the Lord is delighting in Him. Enoch delighted himself in God. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delight thyself, beloved. Delight in the Lord. And He will give to you That which you desire, that which you delight in, He will give to the glory of His name. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we confess that apart from Thee, we are nothing. Indeed, we are worse than nothing. Apart from Thee, we are rebels. We thank Thee that Thou hast established Thy covenant with us, that Thou dost open up the way into the Holy of Holies, that we may approach boldly to Thy throne of grace and find help in time of need. Grant us, O Lord, that which we need for our bodies and our souls. Grant these things not for our own purposes, but grant them so that we may worship and praise Thee. Grant us that we may delight in Thee all the days of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.